This past Wednesday night, Terry Livingston spoke on Lord, Teach Us to Pray. And I want to continue. This is an addendum to his message. It was a great message. And I want to focus in on a few words of Jesus' response to this request. But I found it so interesting that one of Jesus' disciples came to him and said, Lord, teach us to pray. No doubt they had seen Jesus praying, and they had seen John teaching his disciples how to pray. And so now they want Jesus, teach us to pray. And he began that Lord's model prayer, or the disciples' prayer, with the words, Our Father in heaven. Just with that introduction, that first opening to this model prayer, Jesus is exploding a lot of wrong ideas about God. He showed that God is not some kind of impersonal force, that God is not some kind of angry tyrant waiting to zap you on the spot, that God is not some apathetic creator that really doesn't care what's going on. He said, pray like this, Our Father in heaven. And this was a relatively new concept. You scour through the Old Testament, you'll see that God is called Father only 7 times in all of the Old Testament, Genesis through Malachi. And we'll recognize that the children of Israel were called the children of God, God's children. But it was really a radical idea, this calling God our Father. He's known first as the great creator and the maker of all things. In the beginning, God, Elohim, created the heavens and the earth. And Amos the prophet would say, He who forms the mountains, creates the winds, reveals his thoughts to man. He who turns dawn to darkness and treads the high places of the earth, the Lord God Almighty is his name. But Jesus says, pray like this, Our Father in heaven. He calls God Father 12 times in this one chapter. And he's instructing us, his disciples, to call him Father. God wants you, God wants me to know him as Father. Hugo McCord wrote several years ago, the most endearing and precious impression of God is not that he has unlimited power, nor that he is the judge of all, but that he is our Father in heaven. We must acknowledge today that the idea of Father doesn't always bring pleasant thoughts for some. For some, the word Father, instead of a loving, compassionate instructor, a model, for some, the word Father conjures up a negative image. And it may conjure up feelings of resentment, anger, fear. Some just don't have good memories of a good father. But this morning, no matter what kind of father you have or have had, I want to point you to the Heavenly Father for a few moments. He's the ultimate definition of all that a father should be. And the best news of all is that he wants each and every one of us to be his child. But there's a choice that we have to make. So look at Jesus' words, just the opening words of this model prayer, Our Father in heaven. Underscore, first of all, the word our Father in heaven. And when we pray our Father in heaven, we're realizing we don't pray alone, that we're praying with others who call God Father, other children around us in this assembly, but throughout the world, children of God. And that when we pray our Father, we're including all of them. We're in a fellowship and a community of God's children around the world. But it suggests that we're in relationship to Him. And here's the choice that we have to make. God wants you to be His child. He created you, so you're His by right of creation. But He wants to recreate you into the image of His Son, Jesus. And that happens through the new birth when we're born into His family. John 3, verses 3 and 5. And when we become children of His, we can say with full assurance, "Our Father, our Father." And when we say "our Father," we're recognizing we're a member of His family, the church, along with Christians all over the world. But I must underscore this as well. By saying "our Father," you're also admitting that you're not the only one in the world that has a concern to bring to God, that there are others. Because it's so easy to become me-oriented when we pray. I want to talk about my needs before my Heavenly Father. But when Jesus says, "Pray like this, our Father," He's remembering, He's teaching us to remember we're part of a greater family, all of which has needs. And we're not only to go to God with our concerns, our needs, but the needs of others. So this congregation then is a group of individuals, yes, but we become part of a family with a common heritage, with shared values, but also shared burdens as we follow Jesus' instruction and pray, "Our Father." But secondly, highlight the word "Father." And when you call God Father, you're acknowledging there is one in heaven who hears and knows and understands and cares. Jesus said, "Call Him Father." Sons and daughters have access to their father. That's a big part of what being a father is all about. Children don't need an appointment to see their father. We don't have to have an appointment to see or to talk to our Father. As one person said, even in the midst of running the entire universe, keeping the stars in their courses, making sure the planets don't run into each other, and while He oversees 7 billion people with all their troubles, cares, worries, and fears, problems, and difficulties, our God still has time for us. He listens to us as if He had no one else to listen to. Pray, "Our Father." Thirdly, in heaven. When we say "in heaven," "our Father in heaven," we're praying to the one who has the power to help us. We tend to think that this means that earth is where we are, heaven is where God is, and heaven is somewhere beyond the farthest star. Actually, He's a lot closer than you might think, and we'll come back to that in a moment. But instead of thinking of our Father in heaven being way far off, consider "in heaven" referring to the seat of all authority and power and dominion and greatness. We are on earth. We're limited to this little ball of dirt floating around the sun in a little corner of a big galaxy called the Milky Way, one of millions of galaxies. To say that we're on earth means we pray from a position of weakness and comparative insignificance. But we're praying to our Father in heaven, who's on the seat of all authority and all power. And we're proclaiming He has the authority and power to hear us and to help us when we pray. But certainly, Father is the key word, isn't it? Our Father in heaven. What kind of Father is God? I want to remind you of four qualities of God, our Heavenly Father. Number one, He's a caring Father. He wants us to know that we're loved, that we're cared for, that we matter to Him. He's a caring Father. Psalm 103, verse 13. As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear Him. We have a Heavenly Father who cares. In fact, Peter says, "Cast all your care upon Him, for He cares for you." He cares. Our Heavenly Father cares about each and every one of us. Someone who is struggling in their faith said, "I just don't love God enough." And someone corrected him and saying, "No, I don't think that's the issue. The issue is not that you don't love God enough. The issue is you don't realize how much God loves you." Because if we realize just how much God loves us, our love for Him should be a natural response. He's a caring Father. Number two, He's a consistent Father. A consistent Father. In the passage that Jonathan read for us, James 1:17, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning, or who does not change like shifting shadows. He doesn't change. He's consistent. He's reliable. He's faithful. You see, some earthly fathers are so unpredictable. We can be fickle, can't we? Some children may say of their father, I never know what to expect from my dad. I can't figure him out depending on the mood he's in. One minute he's silent, the other he's loud. One minute he's easy, the other minute he's hard. A wife and mother was asked, well, do you wake up grouchy in the morning? She answered, no, I usually just let him sleep. Inconsistent fathers produce insecure children. But God is consistent. He's a consistent Father. He doesn't have a bad day. He's never grouchy. He's not moody. He can be counted on. He's reliable, faithful. The world is constantly changing. Sometimes we get lost in that change. We can't keep up with it. But how glad we are to realize there is a constant. That is our Heavenly Father. Because He is constant, because He is consistent, we realize He always keeps His promises. Psalm 145:13, the Lord is faithful to all His promises and loving toward all that He has made. He's a consistent Father. Number three, He's a close Father. And that's where we need to readjust our image here when we pray our Father in heaven, thinking of heaven being a long way off and we're here on this little ball of dirt called earth. Because the Lord, our Heavenly Father, is near. He's available. He's accessible. Listen to Acts 17 as Paul is trying to correct the misunderstanding of this idolatrous society of Athens and had these idols built to every god, little g, they could think of. But he found this one inscription on this idol that said, to the unknown God. And he said, well, here's my prop. Here's my sermon starter. This one that you call unknown, I reveal unto you. And listen to what he says about him. He has made from one blood every nation of men to dwell on all the face of the earth and has determined their preappointed times and the boundaries of their dwellings, so that they should seek the Lord and hope that they might grope for Him and find Him. Notice, though He is not far from each one of us, for in Him we live and move and have our being. When we pray our Father in heaven, don't think He isn't near. He is omnipresent. He's present everywhere. He knows exactly what we're going through. He knows what we need. And He wants us to ask. He's not a million miles away. He's right here. He's here with you. Many children grow up with absentee fathers. Fathers too busy. They're never around, never at home. And when they are at home, it seems they're detached. They're not emotionally present even when they're physically present. That's not the way that our Heavenly Father is. He's not detached. He's not aloof. He's close. He's near. And He knows and He cares. And He's never too busy for us. Psalm 145:18, the Lord is near to all who call upon Him, to all who call upon Him in truth. Psalm 34:18, the Lord is near, or the Lord is close to those who have a broken heart and save such as have a contrite heart. You ever been crushed in spirit? God understands. He's a close Father. He's sympathetic. He's close to the brokenhearted. He saves those who are crushed in spirit. And that's our Heavenly Father. He's close. And number four, he's capable. He's capable. Nothing is beyond his ability, his resources. Nothing ever taxes him. Luke 1:37, Jesus says, nothing is impossible with God. It's just like little children often think their dads can do anything. My dad knows everything. My dad can fix anything. And he can afford everything. That's why in their eyes, in the eyes of little children, he's omnipotent, omniscient, and Mr. Moneybags. But earthly fathers, we realize, have their limitations. But God has unlimited resources, unlimited knowledge. He is omnipotent. Paul says, now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. Ephesians 3, verse 20. So God is saying, you think of the biggest thing you can think of, and I'm bigger than that. Or you think of the biggest problem that you could ever face, I'm bigger than that. I can handle it. I think about the story I read years ago. A father who asked his son Jimmy to go out in the backyard and get rid of all the rocks in the yard. So he started doing that, using his red wagon to pick up all the rocks and carry them off. But there's one huge rock in the yard that he pull and push and tug, and he did everything he could think of to move that rock, but he couldn't budge it. And so he came to his father and he said, Dad, I've done everything I can, but there's one big rock I just couldn't move. I tried everything. His dad said, no, you haven't tried everything. Son said, yes, I have, Dad. Dad said, no, you didn't. You didn't ask me to help you. How many times do we push and pull and tug on these big problems in our lives? God, I've tried everything. Does he ever answer, no, you didn't? You didn't ask me. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we don't carry everything to God in prayer. Philippians 4:19 says, my God shall supply all your need. Notice, not all your greed. All your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. He's capable. He's capable. So this then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven. And again, in order to pray like that, you got to be a child of God. God wants you to be his child, to be born again into his family. Galatians 3:26, Paul writes, for you are all sons or children of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. And he's talking about how we're brought into Christ, how we're brought into the family of God. It's when we turn from our sin and repentance, when we confess the name of Jesus, who died for us so that we might become children of God. And we're baptized into Christ, into his family. We can then call God Father and pray our Father in heaven. And that opportunity came at a tremendous price. 1 John 3 verse 1, and I like the NIV on this passage. How great is the love the Father has lavished. And that's why I love that. This version, the Father has lavished on us that we should be called children of God. The love of the Father is great because of the magnitude of his demonstration of that love, namely the gift of his Son to die for us so that we might become children of his. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son as an atoning sacrifice or as the propitiation for our sins. God wants you to be his child. And he wants you to know him as Father, who's close to you, who's capable, who is compassionate, who is caring, who invites you to become a child of his. If you're ready to accept that offer that Jesus has made available, or as a child of God, if you've wandered away from home and need to come back, the Father is longing for you to do so. And won't you come right now as we stand and sing?